Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king."
I want to thank Ijima for being willing to always serve when called upon. I thank Marianne for making her children, all three of them, available to serve the Lord. Thank you. Can you hear me okay? It's better to obey. There's a saying that goes, when times get tough, the tough get going. Desperate measures require desperate times require desperate measures. You have to respond in kind to the threat that you face. That reminds me of a story of a pastor where in his church there was a lot of backbiting between the different departments and gossiping, almost to the point where people were making up stories about, and he couldn't figure out what's going on. So he talked to Department A and asked them, "What's happening with you and Department B?" And, "Oh, it's nothing, nothing." But the stories were going on. Then he went to talk to the individuals directly. You know, it's been said that you made this comment or you made that comment. That's not even a factual statement. No, I didn't make that, Pastor. So nothing would abate all this snipping and the lying and going on. So one Sabbath, the pastor finished his sermon, and he said, "I'd like you to read Mark 17 for next Sabbath. It will help you understand my sermon." So the next week, the pastor comes, and as he's about to speak, he asks for a show of hands for those who read Mark chapter 17. And almost every hand went up. And the pastor smiled, and he says, "Mark only has 16 chapters. So I'll begin my sermon on lying." Desperate times call for desperate measures. I'd like to look this morning at a biblical story and compare and contrast it to the interaction Christ had with the disciples. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I ask you to be with me as we take a look, try to get a better understanding, and try to become better soldiers for Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to compare and contrast that chapter to the last two verses in Matthew 28. Verse 3, we see that Samuel is speaking to the king Saul, the first king of Israel. And we see the instructions given to Saul by Samuel. go and destroy the Amalekites. Clear, concise. Destroy everything. Man, woman, child, cattle, sheep, donkeys, camels, all the livestock. Put them all to death. Clear and concise. Desperate measures, you'd wonder, what would the child, the infant, the baby have to do with that? Don't know, but I know the instructions were clear. Put them to death. Spare not anyone. The Bible says Saul gathered a couple hundred thousand men and he went to do that task. I'd like to make the first comparison to Matthew. Matthew says the last two verses of Matthew, 28, not 29, Matthew 28. It says, go ye therefore, right? And teach all nations, baptizing them. Go, destroy the error that's been told about me. Destroy the dishonesty, destroy the untruth, but not with the cold steel of the sword, but with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The disciples were given a commission. All those who are called themselves followers of Christ are given that same commission. Go, slay the truth. Go, put away this error. The word of God. Baptize people, not by force, but by their own volition. Teach them everything I've told you. So we see both commands are very clear and concise. The disciples had 3.5 years of Christ's example and they understood. Saul was a warrior. Samuel said to him, this is what the Lord is telling you to do. Very concise, very clear. But the problem comes when we don't obey. The problem comes when we think that maybe there's a better way to do what the Lord has told me to do. A better way. I can be more creative in doing what the Lord has told me to do. I could be more merciful. I could soften down the truth so I don't hurt someone's feelings. When you go for your annual physical and you get the lab work done and you meet with your physician, you say, Doc, how am I doing? Well, if the doctor said to you, Brian, I'll tell you the truth, but it'll hurt your feelings. So you're doing okay. You say, Doc, that's not okay with me. Tell me, how am I doing? Right? So it's dangerous for us to do anything but give God's word as is. It's dangerous for us to overthink or be more considerate about someone's feelings than for their eternal salvation. Sometimes it's hard to deliver the message as is. But what can I add to it? If I hold something back, I've diminished the strength of the message. So you see, Saul had a clear, concise message. We as disciples have a clear and concise message. Go and fight the error, fight the dishonesty, fight the untruthful depiction in the world of Christ today with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So the problem is that Saul didn't quite obey. He had a better idea. The Bible says in verse 9 that Paul did attack, but he spared the king, King Agag, and he spared the best cattle so he could sacrifice to the Lord. The Bible says a couple of verses after, when Samuel rose to see Saul in verse 12, he said, "What have you done? Why haven't you done what the Lord told you to do?" Now Samuel was upset. He's angry with Saul. But Saul said, "But I did what you said, except I saved the king and I saved the best cattle for sacrifice." We as Christians, when we go out to spread the gospel, to slay the error, to enlighten people's lives of Christ, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple, we often fail. One reason is because we try to carry out these instructions with our own abilities. Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, "It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So often we think that I can get this done. I can speak to Susan about Christ. Before I speak to Susan about Christ, I should speak to Christ about helping me speak to Susan about Christ. You can't do it by yourself. Second, sometimes it's awkward to share with your friends at work, your neighbors, you see them daily. It's a little bit uneasy. It's a little bit harder, quite a bit harder to share with someone in your circle than a stranger. You see a stranger in the airport, you may never see him again. You see your neighbor, you see him in the morning. Come home, you see him in the evening. People at work, you see him 5 days a week. So because it's awkward, we step back and we shy away. But Paul tells us in Romans 1:16 that we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the gospel that reveals the Christ righteousness. I can't promote the Patriots and whisper. I can't talk about the Celtics and say, you know, the game was okay. Game 7 was exciting. We lost. The Super Bowl was exciting. We lost. Last year was very exciting. 28-3 in the third quarter. We won. That, for those who turned away because the game wasn't going the way they want, they lost. They lost a great game. One of the trainers at my job told me that one of his friends went to the game. He left at halftime. The greatest comeback since the game has ever been played happened last year. He left at halftime. As he heard the news, he tried to turn to get back into the stadium. It was too late, too much traffic, couldn't get back in. You left at halftime. You didn't want to be there to see that. I don't talk about the Patriots and whisper. I need to stand up for God the same way. This is what I believe. This is why I believe it. Also, we don't follow the instructions because sometimes we think one voice can't make a difference. I turn your attention to the parable in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. We're told that some seeds are going to fall in the pathway. Some seeds are going to fall amongst the rocks. Some seeds are going to fall in the thistles and the thorns. But some seeds will fall in fertile ground and will bear fruit. So don't worry about one voice. Worry about being God's voice. So there's a problem when the Lord speaks and we don't obey. There's a problem when we don't do the best we can with what we've been given. And so with disobedience comes consequence. Verse 19 of First Samuel 15. "Since you didn't obey the voice of the Lord." I can only imagine what the conversation is like. God's prophet is telling you something very simple. kill everybody, kill everything. And for some reason, you have a better way of doing that task. And then God's prophet comes back and says to you, since you didn't do what the Lord told you to do, the kingdom you have now will be taken from you. And the Lord has turned his back upon you. Saul was upset. Saul was terrified. Saul couldn't believe what he's hearing. But I submit to you, brethren, that when you're in a position of leadership, more is required out of you. When you're in a position of making decisions that determine the direction of the job, the task at hand, the responsibility, more is required of you. Remember Moses. The Lord told Moses to speak to the rock. Moses was angry, and Moses struck the rock. He got the same result, but he had to pay the consequence. He could look into Canaan, but he couldn't cross over. So Saul was held accountable for his actions. The Bible said Samuel asked him, "Do you think the Lord has a delight in burnt offerings over obedience?" To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear better than the fat of rams. There's nothing you can do more to show your love to God than to obey him. There's no money you can give because it already belongs to him. There's no sacrifice you can make because he made the supreme sacrifice. So if you think that there's something that you can do, something that can be said, something can be given, something can be exchanged for your disobedience, you're mistaken. So the consequence comes. The Bible says, Samuel walked back with Saul, and they worshiped together, and they departed. And Saul never saw God's prophet again. So similarly to Saul, if we as disciples, if we as believers, if we who call ourselves Christians don't obey the voice of the Lord, do not go out and share the gospel. Do not baptize people in the name. Do not teach people all that we know about God. We will have the same consequence. But if we, when we saw someone hungry, gave him something to eat and broke the bread of life with that person, if we, when we saw someone thirsty, gave them something to drink and gave them some spiritual water that will never allow them to thirst again, if we, when we saw people who were naked, clothed them with the robes of salvation, we will hear this wonderful phrase given to us in Matthew 25, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning of the foundation of this world." Like Saul, we have a choice to make. Like Saul, we have clear instructions. But unlike Saul, our story is not finalized yet. Those who obey will be invited into the kingdom prepared for us, invited to be reunified with Christ, invited to put those sorrows and burdens down forever, invited to eat at the feet of Jesus, invited to a place where there'll be no more death and no more sorrow, for the former things have passed away. It really is better to obey. It is better to obey. I did the worship for the kids this week. And I spoke to them. I actually did it quite a bit since Pastor Van's been gone. I've been doing it. And it's always good to hear kids. You give them a story and you ask them, what do you think about that? Sometimes you're good and you're just in your presentation. Sometimes you weren't. But you get immediate feedback, honest feedback, unfiltered feedback. So I spoke this week, and I'll close the story. And I spoke about Samuel here and Saul. But I gave the story of a coach, and I might have shared it here before, but I thought it was so apropos that it was the men's ministry, and the coach was talking about when he was a young kid. He learned to play hockey, loved the game. In his senior year at high school, they had a good team. And the talk was, can they go all the way? Can they be the state championship? Can they beat their rivals? It's a tough year. They practiced, strategized, got to the playoffs. Kept on going. Their coach is very good. He's talking back when he was a high school senior. And they get to the championship game. Now everyone's excited. Nobody thought they could make it this far. They knew they had a good team, but they never thought they could make it this far. The game starts. You remember your strategy, stay off the boards and get wrapped up, look for the open man, the passing. And it happens. First period, they're ahead. Second period, they're ahead. Now all you have to do is protect the clock, watch the goal, run the timeout. And they won the game. What a way to cap off your senior year with your friends, your seniors, as the state championship winners for hockey. That night, his friend said, hey, man, let's go and celebrate. And they came to pick him up. All the starters were there. And they had, someone had their dad's van. And they had some beer. They told the coach, get in. This coach didn't realize that he's about to make a decision. He's about to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of his life. When he was a kid, his dad told him, he said, you should never drink and drive. You should never drive with people who are drinking. They had just come off the win of their lives. State championship, seniors going to college, getting scholarships. And he paused. And his friend said, hey, what are you doing, man? Let's go. Let's go. He said, I can't go. My dad told me I should never drink and drive or drive with someone who's drinking. Oh, man, come on, man. We just won the season. We just won the season. We won the championship. And they leaned on him. And he said, I can't go. And they razzed him, and they took off. He goes home, goes to bed. In the morning, the cops come by. Said, what happened to your teammates? Nobody knew. Come to find out there had been an accident that night. His entire team died that night. Everybody died. But the one that chose to obey his father. I submit to you today, there's going to come a time when there's going to be great death and destruction, except to those who obey their father. It is better to obey.
walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in what He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove
God. Please help us to remember that there is really no other way but to trust and obey. We pray in Jesus' name.